Because I don't know about you, but have you ever just wanted to run away? Yeah. we all want to run away sometimes. And we just want to hide. We want to, you know, avoid. We want to disengage. We want to escape. I'm not just talking like, you know, a little weekend retreat. By the way, Nelson's on a weekend retreat this weekend. He's gone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking like disappear, evaporate. Just no longer be. I ran away once. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I was really mad at my parents or disappointed about something going on in my life. And I learned a very important lesson that day. I didn't wake up that morning thinking I was going to run away, and that was a problem, because to run away, you probably need to think through what you're going to do and where you're going to go and what you need. You need to, like, plan to run away. And I didn't plan to run away that morning. I just ran out of the house not thinking about it. And if you don't remember anything else I tell you this morning, just remember this one piece of advice. Don't run away in your undies. Especially when it's cold outside. The only thing more embarrassing than running away in your undies is being caught by your mom in the garage hiding in your whitey tighties. I just don't recommend it. See, we all want to run away. There's just times in life we want to disengage, and maybe you think of those places in your life you just want to run away. Maybe you think of relationships that are broken down, and you're ashamed of something. Maybe you've disappointed a friend, and you just have a hard time bringing yourself to go to that person. So what do? You run away. You hide. You disengage. You don't talk to that person. You avoid them at work. You don't call them on the phone. You just say, you know, it'd be easier just not talk to that person. Maybe you hide or run away from your spouse. You think, okay, I know we've got this problem in our life, in our marriage, and I just don't want to talk about it because that's hard. And so you disengage and you just go in the other room and you get busy with your little activity going on, whatever it is. Maybe you're ashamed of your financial situation, and so you hide and you run away from your finances. Say, I don't want to deal with that. That's hard. That's messy. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. It's not working out the way I wanted to. I'm disappointed with it, and so I just run away from it. I hide. Well, we all kind of run away in different things in our lives and call it what you want, but it's essentially disconnecting from the ways we're called to connect in life. And we are called to connect. We're actually made for connection. And we think here at Pump Road, we think being connected is part of a better story than the stories we're all trying to live. Remember, we've been saying, you know, we all live a story. It's often about ourselves. It's rarely about somebody else and hardly ever about God. You see, we tend to disconnect in our story. And so we've been looking here at Pump Road over the last couple of weeks about practices and values and things that we believe connect us to this better story of God. And we talked a bit last week about celebrate and how it's good for us to come and connect with God. Well, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at this practice of connect. And fundamentally, we believe that we were made for connection with God and for one another. And when that happens, the story of our lives is better because we're connecting ourselves to a better story. Now, you know, our generation is one of the most connected and yet disconnected generations ever. You know, most of us are on Facebook and we have, 100-something friends, you know, on there. Well, we're also disconnected because, really, how many of you actually connected with all of those friends this week? How many of you made a vital connection to some of those friends? It's just not. You know, we're all mobile. We've all got mobile cell phones. We're all available to one another, you know, 24 hours a day, basically. But in reality, do we make those connections happen? No. We're just disconnected. We tend to live life for ourselves. We tend to live into this better story is our story instead of living the better story is God's story. We're all after this easy life, and it leaves us nothing but disconnected and alienated from the people around us. And so we want to talk about this connection idea, and we're going to discover that we are made for relationship. We have a relational design that's in our DNA. It's part of who we were designed to be. And so if we're functioning how we are designed to be, we're connected to others. But we're going to see, in fact, how that's broken down. We're going to see how we've strayed from that relational design and what's that kind of brought us. And then lastly, we're going to look at how God is making a way for that relational design to be restored. And what are just some of the practical implications for the church today? What are we doing? What are we practicing here at Pump Road that sort of embodies that reconnection and that restored relational design? So we're going to start sort of at the beginning of the story of God, and we're going to look at our relational design. And, you know, we all say, or maybe you've heard it said, we're made for community. We're made for connection. Have you ever heard someone say we're made for that? Where does that connection come from? Where does our relational design sort of develop? Our relational design is embedded in the story of creation, and it's found right at the beginning of God's story. So take a look at your worship guide. John read one of the passages, but there's another passage there. And it's from Genesis. And it's right here at the beginning of the story. You know, God has just finished creating the world, and suddenly we're going to read how we're sort of brought into this. And it's Genesis 1, 26 and 27. It says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Now, take a look at that first sentence. It says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Well, what is God saying when he says, "our image, our likeness, let us make"? What's going on there? And it's not immediately clear in the context here, but over time we have developed an understanding that the persons of God are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're indistinguishable from one another, they're united together, yet they've got different sort of characteristics or aspects. They're distinguishable, yet indistinguishable. It's kind of a hard concept. And in fact, if we look closely at this broader passage of Genesis, we actually see that all three are present. Genesis 1:1 talks about the Spirit of God hovering over the waters of creation. And then verse Genesis 1:3, we hear or we see that God's speaking the world into being. And that John, one of Jesus' disciples, spoke of Jesus as God's Word. And that Jesus was with God and that Jesus was God. And that Word was what spoke the world into being. And so, in fact, just in these few couple passages, we have, in fact, this image of a multi, you know, sort of plural of one God. And so God's referring to himself as this plural. He's saying, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image. And so right there is embedded is that relational design, because God himself is in relationship with himself, amongst himself. God himself is in relationship with himself. Now, I'll also say that God isn't just hanging around heaven like a lost puppy looking for a friend. Wrapped up in God's identity is relationship. God contains the essence of relationship within himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so God made us in that likeness. But because God bodies relationship, one of us alone couldn't embody that likeness. One of us wasn't really sufficient to reflect God's person in his three persons. So he said, let us make man and woman. Let us make male and female. And so you might say our relational design is incomplete unless we have our partner, unless we have someone of the opposite sex as part of who our lives. That's more accurately reflecting the likeness of God. Now, we could take it even one step further and say it's actually going to take all of humanity to reflect the full likeness, the full image of God. Because, you know, we're all diverse people, and God is just this indescribable God. And so it's going to take all of us together to sort of describe who God is. I alone don't reflect God completely. Yet, this relational design is within me. It's within you. It drives home this idea that our relational design was in place from the very beginning. He was in relationship with himself, God was. And see, we were made for that same connection. The DNA that God had of relationship was instilled and breathed into us. And God said this was very good. But something went wrong. Something went horribly wrong. We have strayed from this relationship design. We see it a little bit later in Genesis. We decided to take the reins of our relationship into our own hands. We said, God, we're having a DTR, and now it's about us. We don't need you anymore. We're going to make it on our own. And so Adam and Eve ate from the fruit. And what's the very first thing that happened after that? They were ashamed. They covered themselves. Immediately, there was division between Adam and Eve. Immediately, that relational design was broken. And what was the next thing they did? They hid in the bushes, kind of like hiding in the garage in your whitey tighties. They were ashamed. They were embarrassed. They separated themselves from God. The next generation wasn't any better. Cain murdered his brother out of jealousy. There was hostility. There was division. There was brokenness in our relational design. It faltered. It was no longer operating the way it was supposed to be. You see, we were made to be in relationship with God and one another, and it's not working out that way. And we've moved from God's relational design to our self-absorbed relational brokenness. Pride, greed, lust, hatred, selfishness, bullying, all these things are things we experience, and they're all sort of symptoms of this brokenness in relationship. And they're all real to us today. They all disconnect us from one another, and they disconnect us from God. Now, if I gave you a moment, you could probably think of ways in your life you are being disconnected from others by these kind of things. You're trying to take control of your own relationship, and you're disconnecting yourself from others. When we begin to see these disconnections in our own lives, they not only reveal the breakdown, but they remind us we need restoration. They remind us that deep within each of us is this desire to be connected and to be connected to God. That connectional DNA is there. We all long for intimacy, and we all long for relationship and connection. Yet as long as our relational design is broken, we're not going to experience the relational satisfaction that we all long for. We're not going to experience that better story as long as that relational design is broken. We will continue to run away and hide and disengage, even though part of us wants to connect. And see, friends, we're in need of restoration. It makes me wonder, you know, how could we sort of reclaim that relational design? How could we get back to that place where, in fact, we are in relationship with God? We are, in fact, in relationship with one another. Well, we can't, but Jesus did. And the letter of the Ephesians that we read earlier, that John read for us, it talks about how Jesus brought two people who were previously divided together. These people were experiencing that hostility and that division and that disconnect that we experience. And the Jews thought they were sort of the rightful inheritors of God's promise. And it was through circumcision. That's not something we all talk about a whole lot in our workplaces or whatever. But for them, it was important for them. It was their identity. It said, we are God's promise to the world. And anyone who didn't have that, they were out. They weren't a part of God's promise. We see how they're living out the hostility and division and the disconnect that demonstrates our relational brokenness. Let's reread it. Listen to what the author of Ephesians says about this and how Jesus restores our relational design. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are called Gentiles by birth and uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, so that's us managing our relationship. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, you were once hiding in the bushes, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So the disconnect between us has been reversed. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. And now our relationship to God has been restored through the cross. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We're going to talk about that access, that connection in just a moment. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens within God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is being joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, let's unpack this just a little bit. Jesus isn't some just, you know, relational band-aid to fix our malaise. The truth of his redeeming work is deep into our, and goes deep into our brokenness of relationship. His death on the cross, Jesus worked his way to the bottom of that and fixed it. And normally we think of death as sort of the final disconnect from life. You know, when you die, you're done. You're disconnected. Power's out. But something different happened for Jesus. You see, you know, Jesus is part of God, and so he remained connected to God even though he died. He didn't lose that relational design. He was still connected to the life source even through his death. Jesus never lost that. It was his relationship with the Father, his relationship with the Holy Spirit that connected him to the power that enabled him to raise from the dead. And then the promise, therefore, is for you and me the same. His death on the cross restores our relationship to God and one another. Our connection is going to be reestablished. What was once dead, because we were dead, we were disconnected, was made alive again. He brought us back to life and brought us back together. And because of Jesus, we could be restored back to life and back to the likeness that God said was very good. You see, he's talking about there at the end, he's talking about how we're going to be formed together into his dwelling place. We're going to be formed together back into his likeness, the place where God lives, the place where God says, look, this is where I am. So how does that work out for us? How do we actually do that? How do we experience the death-defying life that Jesus experienced? Now, if we go on in Ephesians, we read that we experience that life through the church. You see, our relational design isn't made complete in us. It's made complete in us, plural. Not me individually, but us together as a community. Now, remember, from the beginning, it takes at least two of us to reflect the likeness of God. And so we believe that the fullest expression of our image, of our relational design, how we're going to reflect God, is found here in the church. We are being built together as his likeness, being built together into his image. Now, we read here in Ephesians about us being built together as a temple, but the Bible has other images of how we are meant to be connected. Jesus described himself as the vine, his disciples as its branches. We all know if you cut off a branch from the vine, it's dead. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to grow. It's not going to produce anything, you know, from that. It's going to die. You see, it has to remain attached to the vine. The vine gives us life. So we read in John 15, Jesus is saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you're dead. Apart from me, apart from the vine, the life source, you're nothing. There's a relational quality to this image here. The branches depend on the vine, and Jesus invites us to abide in him because he is the power. He is the life source. Apart from him, we're dead. Apart from the vine, we're useless. The vine is our life source. Now, perhaps you're asking, well, Dave, how do I sort of join myself to the vine? I want that. I don't want to be sort of branch hanging off, you know, on my own, dying. How do we connect? Through the church. Another image in the Bible that illustrates how we are connected to Jesus is through his body, which is the church. And this body, the church, finally begins to establish that likeness and relational design we were created for. A guy that I really like, a good thinker for the church, Alan Hirsch, says this: to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is to be joined to Christ. And to be joined to Christ means to be joined to his church. This body can express itself in many ways and forms, but one thing is always necessary. It must be vitally connected to one another and to Jesus as the head to be the body of the Christ. What does it mean to be vitally connected? What is Alan sort of getting at there? Take a look at the bottom of your worship guide. I gave you one more verse this morning. It's from later on in Ephesians, and he says this, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body." That is, we will grow to become the likeness of God, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, if you're in the medical field, you know that ligaments are meant to be connected. It doesn't do you any good to have a ligament kind of hanging off to the side. Well, what's that for? Oh, it's my ligament just hanging off over here. I was talking to a certain friend the other day, and we were talking about this passage, and we were talking about ligaments, and he knows a lot more about ligaments than I do, so my sort of ligament illustration here may not be totally accurate. You can talk to your doctor about this to get a more accurate thing. But there's one ligament in particular that's really valuable, and you'd never guess where it is. It's in your hand. It's attached to your thumb. Because without that ligament attached to your thumb is useless. And without your thumb, your hand is useless. You know that? Like, you can't, like, you know, it looks like a hand, but it's not very handy. It's not going to get you, it doesn't function. Maybe evolutionists would say, oh boy, the opposable thumb was the greatest sort of, device we created. No, I think God put it there for a reason. My wife, Tara, once had reconstructive surgery on her thumb, and the doctor was very concerned about reconnecting this ligament to the right places. Because if it wasn't connected vitally, she wasn't going to have a thumb. There would be like this thing that looked like a thumb, but it wouldn't function, and she wouldn't basically have a hand. And it was her writing hand, so she needed that hand. Now, here's the interesting thing. The doctor said he could stretch the ligament. He could make sure that it had all the sort of right connections. But if it didn't have that vital connection, it didn't matter. The ligament was as good as dead. The thumb was as good as dead. The whole hand was as good as dead. And friends, here's the point. We're as good as dead without Jesus and that vital connection to him and to the church. It doesn't matter who else we're connected with, we're dead. Unless we're attached to the vine, our source of life, we're dead weight. So Jesus enables our relational design. He breathes back life into us as sort of the ligaments of the church, the ligaments of the body, so that we together can be reformed and remade in the likeness of God, so that we would reflect how God intended us to be. So what does that mean for us today? Well, here at Pump Road, we believe there are lots of people in the world looking for this kind of relationship. They're out in our communities, they're in our workplaces, they're in our schools. They are looking for relationship because, I said, it's in us deeply. It's in our DNA, that desire for connection. And friends, people are trying to find all sorts of connection out in the world. They're going to all sorts of different places to try to find that vital connection. But they're only going to end up dissatisfied in their relationship. They're only going to end up feeling empty because they're not being connected to the vital sources of life. Now, maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you've been looking for that relationship satisfaction. Maybe you've been looking to reconnect. Maybe you've been looking for some sort of fulfillment in life, purpose, and you haven't found it yet. Maybe you're here today because you're going, okay, I want to check out this church thing. Maybe I can find what I'm looking for relationally at the church. We believe the church is the only place we will experience life and connection because it is here that we are being connected to the life source and to one another. We're being connected to Jesus. And in that, we're living out what we're made to be. We're being restored. And friends, you can't find that anywhere else. In fact, we as a church are called to be the hope of the world. We talked about this last year. We're called to be the hope of the world because through us, we will reflect the likeness of God. We will reflect Jesus to the rest of the world. That's how they will know Jesus, if they see us, because we together are forming the image of God. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So as we grow together as the body, we will experience true connection, just like Jesus has with God. Now, maybe for some of you, being part of the body of Christ or being in community is like being stuck in a phone booth with 100 different strangers. It's uncomfortable. You feel vulnerable. You feel exposed. You feel, like you can smell everybody else's stuff. You don't want you to go, oh boy, everybody's going to smell me. Everybody's going to know parts of me that I don't want them to know about. Being in part of this sort of community and connecting is vulnerable. It can be a little scary. It can be intimidating, maybe. And in those places, you know, we're uncertain how that's going to go. And so guess what? We run away. We hide. We disengage from the church. We leave the church because it was hurtful. We stopped going to church because we felt like, you know, I'm just not connected. I'm not connecting there. It's not working out for me. I'm just not going to be a part of it. We go back to living a dead life when we do that. Now, I want to close by sharing what this means to me personally. This week, I had a crisis. Wednesday morning, I woke up, and it was a fairly normal morning. It was cold out. I went for a run, came back, took a shower, got dressed. And all along, I was kind of chewing on some things that I know God's working in my life. I'm confronting some areas that I know I need to grow and develop in. And I was talking to Tara about them, and my crisis began to develop. And I was sitting on the bed, and in that moment, I felt like a total failure. I felt like I was just dead. I felt like I just want to get in a plane and fly far away. Or I want to get in my car and just drive until the road stops. And it was a terrible feeling. And I kind of went through the rest of Wednesday as a zombie. And I had meetings, and I had a lunch appointment, and Nelson and I made a pastoral visit, and I was just like zombie the rest of the day. I was dead, essentially, in that moment. But I knew that I needed to reconnect. I know where my life source is. My relational design had broken down in that moment because my desire was to run away and hide. My desire was to cover up my shame and to say, you know, I don't need to work on these things. I'm perfect as is. But the reality is I will only grow within the community. I will only grow when I'm connected to people and to God. So I want you to know that. I want you to experience that connection. I called some friends that night. I went and had Sweet Frog with a friend, and Tara came home eventually. We just had a nice sort of evening with our little group of people a little bit Wednesday night. Thursday, I went to my young professionals, our sort of young professional missional fellowship, and asked for prayer. And I reconnected. I knew that's what I had to do, because otherwise I was going to sit in this place of death, essentially. And I long for each of us here to experience that kind of life, that kind of restoration. I'm not perfect. I've got these things I can work on. But guess what? Scripture says we will grow together. I long for each of us to be vitally connected to Jesus, to one another. So I want to invite you today. If you've never made that connection to Jesus, he's waiting at the door of your heart this morning to reconnect. He wants to give you life. He wants to restore you. He wants you to be who you were made to be. So I ask you, will you receive Jesus? Will you receive the life that he offers this morning? Will you receive his promise of restoration today? Or maybe you've received that promise, but you're not reconnecting to the church. Maybe you've kind of wandered in here today and you're just checking something out and you've never been connected to a church. And you want that. You desire to be connected to the body. Well, I invite you, you know, become a part of our missional fellowships. We feel like, Nelson and I feel like this is the chief expression of our relational design being restored. That's where we experience growth. That's where we experience connection. That's where we'll experience the life that God has for us. It's there where we are vitally connected to God and vitally connected to one another. It's where the ligaments of the church are being sewn together and brought to life. It's where our spiritual muscles are being built up and strengthened, and the bones are coming together and forming his likeness. We see the power of restoration in these small groups. If you're already connected to our missional fellowship or have some other vital connection to the church, I challenge you to invite other people into that relational design. I challenge you to invite people to join themselves to the vine, to join themselves to the church, to become a part of this community, that connection that we're having together. Because I believe that we, the church, we, the body of Christ, have something vital to offer. We have a relationship, we have connection to life that you can't find anywhere else. Friends, that is a better story. Won't you pray with me? Father, I just pray right now for people who are interested in receiving you today, for people interested in receiving your life and your reconnection, people interested in receiving restoration in their relational brokenness. Father, I pray that they wouldn't hide this morning. I pray that they wouldn't run away, that they wouldn't feel ashamed or embarrassed, but Lord, that they would just invite you to meet them where they are today. Father, I pray for people who feel like they're disconnected from the church. Lord, they're looking for that vital connection. And Lord, I pray that they would experience it here. I pray that they would experience you and your life source here. Lord, I pray for us that we feel connected, and Lord, we want to share that with other people. We want to invite other people into that vital relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work through each of us by the power of your Holy Spirit to connect us and grow us together as your body, to form us in your likeness, in your image. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.